Today on Real Life Radio.
Maybe for the Christian, it's, I don't have the time to get involved, God. Surely you understand. Excuses. What about the person today who's religious but not going to heaven? You could be trusting all of your religious achievements. Are you in some way, shape, or form rejecting him by offering up excuses?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called Be Hospitable. You know, our series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke the physician could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 14, we'll consider hospitality and how our God of the Bible reaches out to us all. You see, it's God's desire that all should come to the place that He's prepared for us, and He wants absolutely nothing in return. To come alongside Him and bring as many as we can along the way, family and strangers alike are to be invited to His kingdom through our generosity and kindness, and without earthly reward. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that as Christ followers, we are compelled to invite others to come to Him, to convince the lost how much they really need Jesus and how much He loves them. Jesus' hospitality comes to us at a great price. Our salvation cost Him everything, but with joy and desire in His heart, He was willing to pay for it. So before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book called 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World by Dr. Ed Heinzen. It really digs into events that are happening right now and how they relate to biblical prophecy. So if you'd like to broaden your understanding of Bible prophecy, pick up our featured book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World by Dr. Ed Heinzen, for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Be Hospitable, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Verse 17 says, "And I sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" I get in trouble for this because Lisa will say, she'll be cooking and she'll get it done. And she'll say, "Okay, come on, it's done. It's ready." And if I don't hear that, I get in trouble. I mean, you labor, you put time and effort into it, and the kids say, "Well, I'm not going to eat tonight," or you're not listening, or wait a minute. The preparation's been made. Now the announcement, Jesus says, "Listen, at supper time, everything's ready. The candles are going, the food's out there, the worshipers are singing, the cello and the piano, and the gates are open. Come on, let's go." That's the setting. Yeah, Jesus said in John 14, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Think about that. He's been working on it for 2,000 years. You talk about party. Why would you miss that? What is your excuse? What is your thinking? I wouldn't miss it if I were you. The Bible says regarding his provision, Acts 20:28, the Bible says, "Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." When did God purchase the church with his blood? At the cross where Jesus hung and died there for us. It's amazing. Thirdly, our God excludes none in this. He excludes none based upon his actions. His actions. You can never blame God for keeping you out of heaven. No way. Verse 18, "And they," those that were invited, "with one accord, one mind, began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground, I've bought some property, and I got to go see it. I ask you to have me excused.' The other one said, 'I've bought five yoke of oxen, I've got to go test drive them. I ask you to excuse me.' The third one said, 'I have a wife, I can't come.'" Verse 21 says, "So the servant came and reported these things to the master." They won't come. Do we get this? Jesus died on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He died on the cross. And the invitation goes out not only through the Bible, not only through radio and TV around the world, but through every one of our lives as we talk to others to come and know God, my friend, my neighbor, my enemy, strangers, foreigners, come and know God. If we really believe that message of the gospel, that he came to save sinners and to give us heaven, then it would be the passion and the very thing upon our tongues and upon our lips. And the truth is, why would anybody reject that? Isn't it funny? Have you ever had someone say, someone who's a Christian say to you, why don't you come to church? Come on, just come. No, no, that's okay, I'm busy. There's always an excuse, come on. There's always an excuse. You know what? And I hope all of you are that pesky coworker. Oh, here he comes again. Watch this, he's gonna invite me to church. Hey, how you doing? How's things going? Great. Hey, yeah, you know what? You wanna go to church with me next week? No, you know what? I'm really busy. Okay. Oh, that maniac invites me to church every week. When's he gonna stop? Wait a minute, just stop right there for a second. Do you understand that maniac Christian who invites you to church, he's not being paid to invite you to church? Do you understand that he gets no brownie points in heaven for inviting you to church? Do you understand that the parking lot at the church he goes to doesn't need one more car in it? You ever thought about that? Have you thought, though, the reality is this, that person cares enough about you for who knows what reason to want you to be with him in heaven? They want you to be with them in heaven. And what do you do to that? You offer an excuse. Jesus offers people heaven. And people offer up all kinds of excuses all the time. Well, listen, dangers regarding God's actions towards us and our excuses. Number one, look at verse 18. This man's preoccupied and distracted by things that he desires. Maybe in his case, it's power. I don't know. To own land, to own dirt. It's still a thing today. You know, God's done making three things. Three things. He's done making gold. Ooh, gold. Well, God only made gold once, and he's done making gold. The second thing is dirt. That's why people buy land. He's not making any more dirt. And listen, did anybody get a drink of water this morning? Do you know how old that water was you drank this morning? It wasn't old, I drank it out of a bottle. That water is thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of who knows how long old. Did you think of that? Spit that out. I'll never drink water again. God purifies the water, but he made water once. He's not making water again. Did you know that? He's only made water once. It's all the water in the world. He's not making water. No wonder why the price of water is all that it is today. Amazing. Think about it. This man bought ground because it's power. Maybe the thing, the obstacle in his mind was, I can't follow God. I can't get involved in church. I can't worship God. I can't do what others do. I'm a property guy. I'm an acquisitions guy. I got a big business to run. I got to protect my interest, my power. Be careful. When our stuff begins to cause us to make excuses as to why we can't serve God, we are idolaters and we're sinning. I can't go to church. I got a game today. I can't go to church. I got to go shopping. I can't serve God. I can't go feed the homeless, or I can't go pray because hey, listen, watch out. That's a very dangerous thing. And Jesus is speaking to those people today as he was back then. They make excuses. I have some land to take care of. I can't come. Secondly, preoccupied and distracted with an excess of things. Verse 19, and another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask that I be excused. Why would you buy land that you have not seen and buy oxen that you've not tested? Everybody back then test drove their oxen before they bought them. Think about it. These are stupid, foolish, ridiculous excuses. Just like we hear today. I can't do that. This word speaks of excess. He didn't have an ox to test. He had oxen to test. This is a rich man. He had things in the way. Now, let's make this straight. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root to all evil. Money's not evil. It's what you and I do with it that makes it evil or good. If we love money, then we're going to hoard it to ourselves, and it won't be shared and it won't be invested in the kingdom work. He's not talking about that it's bad to have things. He's talking about it's bad when those things possess us. Thirdly, occupied and distracted, this one, verse 20, by a self-centered life. Still another man said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. This guy, J. Vernon McGee says, is the only one that he could see that had some sort of an excuse where Jesus would say, okay, you're all right. This is interesting because the meaning of it is this. It goes two ways. Watch. It's kind of painful if it applies. If the shoe fits, either wear it or get a new shoe, fix it, change it quick. Here it is. Number one, I've got a wife. I can't be involved in the things of God. I've got to take care of her. I got to wait on her. I've got to serve her. You say, aren't husbands supposed to do that? Yes, but not at the exclusion of God. God first. And by the way, all the women should have just said, amen, because a woman will really be loved and take care of if the man puts God first. Listen, man, serve, husband, if you don't have God first in your life, your home is not going to work. If you are living to please her, then you're not pleasing God. Secondly, it means this. If the woman will not let or allow or encourage her husband to serve God, this man, hypothetically, theologically true, he could have been saying, I've got a wife, she won't let me be involved in the things of God. Both she is sinning and he is as well. Interesting. By the way, listen, marriage should never decrease a Christian's involvement in the things of God. I see people dying after they get married. You know what they do? They serve God, they love the Lord, they're single, and they're living for God. Then they meet him or her, and they wind up getting so crazy focused on self-centeredness that very shortly after their wedding, they say, well, we can't serve in children's ministry, or we can't serve as an usher, we can't serve. We're newly married, and I understand about being newly married, but at the expense of serving God, listen here. Church, listen, this is free. I'm going to give this to you absolutely free. Two single people who love God coming together, their ministry influence should at least double. Two single people who are Christians coming together and they stop serving because they got married, they have fallen for one of the most dangerous tricks of all, and it will lead to destruction. Their eyes begin to get turned inward, and you begin to hear things like this. Listen, warning, if you're engaged, dating, or married, if you hear this, I can't live without you. Well, if you're married, you're stuck with that maniac. I mean, you're stuck. But if you're engaged or you're dating, get out now while you can. Why? Because they claim to know Jesus, but they can't live without you. You know what that means? Translation, 30 years of marriage, I'll tell you what it means. Here it is. Are you ready? It's free. If somebody says that to you, they just communicated to you right between your eyes. You better, and here's what they're saying. You better listen to me, and you better listen to me good. I need you. I am looking to you to fulfill all the desires of my life. You and you alone are the only one who can make me happy. You give me reason for living. You're my purpose. And without you, I can't function. You know what? You're an idol in their life, and you don't need that. You need someone who impresses you spiritually as they walk with God. That's the person you want to know. That's the man you want to have, and that's the woman you want to have. You say, oh, Pastor, got to wait so long. I'm 25 years old and I haven't met such a girl yet or a guy yet. Hey, listen, I'd rather wait till you're 50 and meet the right one than marry five of them before you're 50 trying to find one. Don't panic. God's in control, but he's taking too long. Maybe you're not ready to get married. You ever think of that? I don't know what he's waiting on. Maybe it's you. Maybe he's got him or her and he's working on them. In fact, I know that's the case. Just be patient. Anyway, that had nothing to do with the study. Let's keep going.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
People will offer excuses. People will often say, listen, and this is a big one in the West, in our world. And this is horrible, and yet it's so common. Well, we don't discuss religion or politics in our home. Do you know what you're saying? We are too frail to get into heated discussions and things that are going to cause us to think real deep, life-changing thoughts. Because if you start talking about politics, now you're talking about people who are eventually, if you get involved or not, going to control my life. And secondly, if you talk about religion, well, now you're going to have to eventually get to the cross and death and life and hell and heaven. And I don't want to talk about that either because I'm just too frail. I can't handle it. So we don't talk about things like politics and religion in our house. That is the Western world number one excuse to eject Jesus out of your life. I don't go there. I'm sorry. I don't talk about those things. Those are private issues. Then why did Jesus hang on the cross publicly for the world to see? Why is this Bible published around the world and this message preached? And just before the end, the Bible says God will send an angel around the globe preaching the everlasting gospel, and then the end will come. Why? Because what he did for you and I was public, and he invites you and I to come to him because he wants us to have heaven. What's wrong with that? Everybody wants a little bit of heaven. You know, we want... We turn on the TV and now I'm supposed to buy a BMW, the ultimate driving machine. And then I change the channel and I don't apparently have clothes unless I buy them at Nordstrom's. Apparently also that I'm a zero unless I go and do this thing or be in that place. That's what the world says, is it not? This is what the world says is heaven. And then the food. Look at the food. When you go eat, and you know those places that have they're like kiddie menus. They get me every time. You know the real nice restaurants, they have it just printed up in a real fancy font. You can hardly read it. What is that? It's cake. It's like, gee whiz. And then there's the real kind of places that I like. They have pictures of the fudge. And you just go like this. I want one of those, and I want that, and I want four of those. Right? Have you noticed it always looks so fantastic in the picture? Like when they're selling the car, the street's been freshly hosed down, the car's perfect, and you go, I've got to have that. And no matter how you park it and hose down the street, it never looks like that in front of your house. Why? Because the world communicates to us, listen, them, it's a real true agenda. You got to have a piece of heaven. You got to have this. We fall for it. And God comes along and says, I'll give you heaven, eternal life, perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect forgiveness, perfect sights, perfect sounds. And have you read the Bible? Perfect food, perfect, in light, fellowship forever, no death in heaven. Wouldn't you think that if we're falling for Madison Avenue, that we would leap into the arms of God and say, take me home, Papa? But we don't. We fight against him. We reject him. Why is that? Because it is a spiritual issue of our soul. And only those who reject him by rejecting his message and say no are pursuing heaven their own way. And it will lead to destruction. Third and final point, verses 21 to 24, it is this. Our God, the God of the Bible, wants you there with him in heaven. He wants you there. I always find this amazing. He wants you there. He wants me there. He wants you and I there with great passion. Verse 21, then the master of the house being angry, circle the word angry. He was angry and he said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Bring them here. He was angry. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7, verse 11. Say, I thought God loved me. He loves you, but he's angry with the wicked every day. Say, how can that be true? Well, first of all, he's God. He's not like us. Number two, the word anger is perfect, righteous anger. You say, well, wait a minute. Aren't we all sinners? Does that mean he's not, isn't he angry at all of us? No. Yeah, I mean, yes, we're all sinners, but he's not angry at all of us because some of us have had the blood of Christ applied to our lives the moment we accepted Christ. All of what Jesus did at the cross, God in his incredible mathematics and his bookkeeping attributed the works of Christ to my life. Am I a sinner? Yes, but I've been forgiven. Now I'm acceptable. Though we're all sinners, some are acceptable and some have not taken up his invitation, and that makes them wicked. What makes a person wicked? By rejecting the offering of salvation through Christ. That's it. You could have committed 100 billion sins in your life. There's one sin that will keep you out of heaven forever, and that is never coming to Jesus. But if you come to him, it cancels out all the others. I think you ought to come to him. The poor are there, the maimed, the lame, the blind. This is a human freak show. And that blesses me when I look around my own life. Why would God have me in heaven? Look, only you know your failures more than anybody in this world, and I know mine. And God says, I want you there in heaven with me. Blind, maimed, lame, poor. Come on. I love it. He removes every excuse. He wants us there. Also this, he wants you there for a great reason. Look at verses 22 to 23. The servant comes and says, Master, I've done everything I've commanded, but there's still room in heaven. There's still room. And he says, that's it. Go out to the highways and the hedges. Get out to the most remote places of the planet. And look at verse 23. Compel them to come that my house may be filled. The word compel here is a powerful word. This is what it means. Listen carefully. The word compel says or announces this: to necessitate in their hearing, to cause or to give argument, to challenge them, to distress them with their opinions, to get them to consider heaven. Stir up their mind, cause them to think, let them get upset. Make them think, compel them to come. And then it ends here. He wants you and I there at great expense. He says, for I say to you, verse 24, that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Man, that's powerful. That verse is announcing to us, you can be religious as much as you want, but unless you have accepted my invitation, and remember who he's speaking to, that gathering, you're nothing. You're not going to make it. You won't make it. God wants you and I there, and he has done that through great expense of his own life on the cross, and after paying such a price, he leaves the decision up to us. That blows my mind. We're all done. You can close your Bibles. Think of this. Am I in my life in any way rejecting Christ by offering excuses? Maybe for the Christian, it's, I don't have the time to get involved, God. Surely you understand. Excuses. What about the person today who's religious but not going to heaven? You could be trusting in all of your religious achievements. Are you in some way, shape, or form rejecting him by offering up excuses? Let's bow our heads in prayer, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to shed your excuses. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask in Jesus' name that this, your gospel, would go forth into a receptive heart this morning to decide now, once and for all, no more excuses. That the eternal creator God of heaven swings wide the doors of your great city, and all who will come will come. And this morning you say, come. The book of Revelation says, come. The book of Isaiah says, come and drink of the waters of life freely. Maybe today you would say this, and if you agree, let these words fall from your lips. You can have them in your heart. Tell him, Father, forgive me. I want to be right with you. I'm trusting you. I don't understand everything, but I'm hearing today Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that he rose again from the dead, that he's invited me to heaven, and I want to come. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I'm asking you to take me, God, and make me your child. No more excuses.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Be Hospitable. So glad you could join us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. What can people on earth expect during the last days? In all the chaos that the Bible predicts, several events stand out as truly extraordinary. Now, what are these events and what makes them so significant? In Pastor Jack's current resource called 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World by Ed Heinsohn, he gives us a clear overview of how certain events unfold and what they mean to us. Bible prophecy is not meant to scare us, it's meant to prepare us. God's Word assures us that He is in control when all seems out of control here on earth. What God has to say about the future reminds us to keep watching and to be ready for the Lord's imminent return.
God's Bible, the book that you probably have at home, is able to tell you about the future. That's the God that we serve, is a God who knows the future.
15 Future Events That Will Shake the World by Ed Heinsohn. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.